to be American.
This is Democracy Optimist. Here's your host, Professor Joshua Douglas of the University of Kentucky Rosenberg College of Law.
Welcome to Democracy Optimist, where we bring you the good, the bad, and the ugly on voting rights and election law, with a dose of hope sprinkled in. County clerks are at the front lines of our elections. They are literally the people who decide where the polling places are located, which voting machines to use, and how to ensure there are enough poll workers. Today, we are thrilled to welcome two Kentucky county clerks to explain how elections actually operate. Susan Lamb is the county clerk of Fayette County, which includes Lexington, the state's second largest city. Kenny Barger is the county clerk in Madison County, which encompasses Richmond. Susan and Kenny, welcome to Democracy Optimist.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
So let's just talk sort of the basics. What's the role of the county clerk when it comes to administering elections? Kenny, you've done this a little bit longer, so I'll start with you. Just give us a basic overview of running an election in Madison County.
Well, one of the misconceptions is the county clerk runs the elections, and it's actually a four-member board that the county clerk is chair of. There's a Democratic representative selected by the local party, Republican, and then the sheriff is on the board also. So we, in Madison County, our office, our employees do the day-to-day in and out, actual boots on the ground running the election, and the board oversees that.
And, of course, but you're kind of overseeing what the board is doing. You're kind of at the front lines, right? So, Susan, you know, you're new to this position, but you've run an election already or help facilitate with the county boards. So how do you see your role in terms of administering an election?
Right. And I do appreciate what Kenny was saying about the County Board of Election. But, you know, I see my role as best described as an educator to the public and the community about our process and being supportive. I'm very fortunate that I have a team of eight election deputies and that actually handle our elections. So but I always work alongside of them to always to be able to improve the experience of our voters and our election officers. So,
Kenny, you've been the clerk since 2011. I said, Susan, you took the job last year, right? What's been the most surprising aspect of the work? Susan, we'll start with you, given that you have done one so far. What was the most surprising thing?
I think that the absentee ballot process, while it was most surprising, it was most intriguing. And I think that the opportunity to make improvements for people that sometimes don't have any choice but to submit an absentee ballot. So
tell us a little bit more about that. What aspect of the absentee balloting process is intriguing or did you not expect to encounter?
The fact that that the state statute says that if an envelope is not sealed, that we have to reject it. We shall reject. And so, of course, you have to reject an absentee ballot. The fact that we actually took a step further and took all of our election envelopes and we put double-sided sticky tape on them. And so my first election was the primary of 23, and we had a number of rejections because the envelopes weren't sealed. So then over the course of the summer in 23, we put double-sided sticky tape on, and we only had maybe a handful of rejections in the general of 23.
Yeah, it's sort of amazing to think about something as little as, you know, putting the double-sided sticky tape can make such a big difference. I mean, it's a good reminder to voters who are voting absentee to seal your ballot.
It is. And the other thing to know, too, is that those envelopes are not printed within the county. They're printed on the state level. So the county does not have the authority with those envelopes. So I've been trying to talk with the State Board of Elections to see if we could come up with a different methodology for those envelopes. But as you can imagine, we have a ton of those already printed.
Yeah. And for those ballots that you had to reject, did you notify the voters?
There is not a notification process.
Yeah.
So that's another problem. I know in the state of California, they mail in their absentees. That's how they vote. And they know when you order a ballot. They know when you receive it, when you send it back. And the voter knows when their vote's been counted.
Yeah.
And so I like those I'd like that. There's a room for improvement, I believe. Mm-hmm. So
something for the state legislator to think about, legislature to think about when, you know, considering various election rules. Kenny, what's the biggest myth or misconception that voters have about the voting process?
That we start the voting process a week before the election.
Hmm.
Right now, we're getting our equipment in order. We're making sure everything's the way it should be. Coming up in a couple of weeks, we'll start. We've already got our ballot laid out. We'll start working on really getting the equipment ready. And then in April, we actually certify the machines and set them up to be ready to go out for the May primary. It takes a whole lot of training of our staff to stay up to date on everything. And it takes a whole lot of training for the election officer.
Yeah. And so just so our listeners know, we're recording this well before this is airing. We're recording in early 2024, and you all are already very busy in getting ready for the May primary and then the November general election.
Absolutely. I'd like to touch on something Susan said. COVID gave us the opportunity to totally change the way we vote in the state of Kentucky. We hadn't made improvements in over 200 years. Those rules were made when people rode horses, mainly men, geared for men, spring and fall.
I mean, to be fair, people still ride horses in Kentucky.
Yes, they do.
Maybe not to go vote.
Not to go vote.
Yeah.
But it was made, it's an agrarian calendar.
Right.
So it was extremely antiquated. So that process has been majorly improved over the last just couple of years or three. And now we need to start looking at our mail process. We are, if you compare our just the mechanics of it, the envelopes themselves, we are decades behind other states in just putting colors on certain spots. There's a nonprofit agency in Washington, D.C. That's all they do is work on government mail. So we have to get involved with those folks. And it's been on my list to work with State Board to make those changes. We have to, because you're right. Mail has become, absentee has become kind of a dirty word when it comes to elections, it seems like. But there are people that cannot leave their home. And to rob them of the right to be able to exercise their constitutional rights is just wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, and as you said, you know, looking to the best practices of other states, some states have a mechanism for voters to track their ballots right through the system, like they're tracking a package.
Intelligent mail barcodes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's simple. People do it now with their mail going to their home or going to their P.O. box. They know what's in the box before they ever arrive. They have a scanned image of it on their phone.
Yeah, and so certainly a best practice for voting as well that the state could implement. What does Election Day itself look like for you? What are you doing on, you know, the official? And of course, we have 3 days of early voting in Kentucky leading up to that Tuesday. But Susan, what are you actually doing on the voting days, and particularly on what we call Election Day?
Well, the first thing is you better get a good night's sleep the night before, because you're going to have a long day. Mm. The most exciting thing is you arrive in the office probably close to 5. Some of my staff gets in there at 4:30 because the poll workers are getting to their precincts and they're setting up. And so between 5 and 6, all the questions are coming in. My poll pad's not coming up. My printer's not connecting. I don't have a cord. I need this. I need that. So we have our County Board of Election comes and is at our office at 6 a.m. And we are working through all of the different things that are going on. And then at 6, when everything opens up, you're still continuing to provide that type of backup for everything. But in our office, I have 73 employees. And so all 73 employees are working on that day for the election behind the scenes. We close our doors for our other operations. And we have people that are assigned to answering the phones. They're assigned to opening up absentee ballots. They're going and they're taking care of issues out in the actual the field in the precincts. And the most exciting thing for me was to experience when at the end of the day, the precincts close at 6, and then probably around 6:30, quarter of seven. Then we start having, we had about 125 voting locations last year in the general election. So we had 125 vehicles with the Democrat and Republican inside the vehicles, party parity always. And they drove certain parts of the information from the election, from the precincts down to our office. And we have a whole system set up in our garage. And we allow six cars at a time. And we bring in, and inside those are the most important thing is the V-drive from the Verity printers. And what's so cool is, and we take it in, we check off all the boxes, and then the Verity drive goes to our IT manager, who actually then goes and starts uploading the information from the elections. And it's the most exciting, exhilarating day I've ever experienced in my life.
Wow. And of course, just to kind of bust some myths that many voters have, you know, those machines, those voting machines that you vote on are not connected to the internet by state law. And so, you know, requires those drives that you are literally driving from different parts of the county into your office to do the count. Kenny, anything to add about what your election day looks like?
It's much the same. Most of election day, early morning, is exactly what you're talking about, getting up and running. Once you get everything stood up and running, the calls slow down. Then we start getting calls. This voter's not showing up in the poll book. And we'll check them and decide whether or not they needed a, you know, what kind of ballot they need, that kind of thing. It's gotten a lot smoother for me over the years. We've got our pretty seasoned staff, and we've got a pretty solid group of precinct officers we can count on. One thing we did in Madison County was we added a precinct location coordinator, a PLC. And that person's not in charge, but that's our... If there's a problem, they call us or we call them. We can reach someone in that precinct and actually work through them rather than have to drive to every location.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So in Kentucky, like in many other places in America, we elect the people that run our elections in partisan races. You know, America is an anomaly. Around the world, we have nonpartisan election administrators in virtually every other advanced democracy. But here we do it on a partisan basis, including our county clerks in Kentucky. So, Susan, you're elected as a Democrat. Kenny, you're elected as a Republican. How does the partisan nature of the election to your office affect your work? And how do you maintain nonpartisanship in your role as election administrator? Kenny, we'll start with you and then we'll go to Susan.
Being a county clerk is not really a partisan job. It's a nuts and bolts process-oriented job, from licensing cars to recording deeds, and it rolls right into elections. And I want to say something about the group of clerks in Kentucky. The County Clerks Association, I was in the association for many years and didn't have any idea how the people I was working with were. We never even talk about it. It never comes up. Because if you're following statute, you don't have to be nonpartisan. You're following the letter of the law, nonpartisan is already built into that process. Mm-hmm. And if you are a very involved political person, the county clerk's job is probably not the one for you just because of this election nature. You have to be nonpartisan or you're going to find yourself in hot water at some point.
Yeah. Susan, what do you think?
I agree. You know, the first thing that I started learning about the elections, about the party parity, I love that. I do think that's important because we all have valuable opinions, and I think that it's very important that we respect the opinions of others while maintaining our own opinions, but to be able to serve in the capacity for the betterment of the entire community. I think that it's a unique opportunity to be able to work with everybody, and I agree with what Kenny said. You know, it's so interesting when I started on in this role, I started going to the Kentucky County Clerks Association meetings, and honest to goodness, I never knew, and I still don't know, didn't know it until I started in this process, what Kenny was registered. It doesn't matter to me because I want to work with everybody. I was on city council for 8 years in a nonpartisan role, and that really helped me to value and understand the importance of that. And to be able to serve everyone.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, again, I often think it's weird for our elections to be run by partisan, you know, people who have to get the job in a partisan way. But virtually every election administrator I speak with from all over the country and from Kentucky espouse that same sentiment that, you know, yes, they have to run an election and campaign, but once they put their election administrator hat on, the politics go away. And I think that's a refreshing aspect of the dedication of county clerks, of poll workers, of, you know, the people who are actually running our elections. So, of course, you can't do everything just through, you know, kind of whatever you want. You're bound by state law. You have to get approval from the state board of elections for various aspects. But how do you handle something like the legislature implementing a new law? So, you know, there's a new voter ID law in 2020. There's a new law a couple years later requiring 3 days of early voting, which we didn't have before. What's the process of just dealing with a new legislative mandate? Kenny?
Again, I'll go back to our association. In the last 4 years or so, Don Blevins, clerk previous to Susan, was instrumental in our legislation that came through Kentucky. Our County Clerks Association works closely now with members of the House and the Senate. We have Trey Grayson, former Secretary of State, as our lobbyist, and we are involved now with the process as it goes. I know that anybody that follows legislation, there are a lot of really good ideas legislators have until they actually find out how the job's done.
Hmm.
And the favorite thing I like to hear legislators say is, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I often say that just because you ran for an election doesn't mean you know how to run an election. And I think, unfortunately, these legislators who, you know, well, I won, and so I know how things work, don't have the experience of actually administering an election.
Secretary Adams has been great to work with. We all have a common goal of trying to get closer to the voter, trying to make it more convenient to vote.
Yeah.
And it's been refreshing over the last 4 years to have the momentum we've built with the legislature.
Mm-hmm. Susan, what's the biggest concern you have going into the 2024 election?
You know, safety for our election officers. You know, in Fayette County, we've been very fortunate. We've not had any major incidents. You know, you have some people that come in and they're just rude, or they just might not, they're having a bad day. But, you know, we're trying to train our election officers for this, but you just don't know how any one person is going to react to a situation on either side. So I think safety is one of the things that I am concerned with. And you try not to be alarming to your election officers, but you want to educate them. So it's a slippery slope. It's a fine line in there trying to figure out how much do you equip your election officers with just in case. And that's scary.
Yeah, it's sort of a sad commentary on how polarized we've become, that these people who are just dedicated to democracy for all are, you know, facing threats. Kenny, do you have anything else that you're concerned about for 2024?
Yeah, our biggest concern, and it's a concern across the state of Kentucky, is enough people to work the polls.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have enough precinct officers. No county does, because it judged by size.
Good message here. You know, what's one thing that listeners can do to support democracy? Contact your county clerk and volunteer.
Go vote. Govote.ky.gov.
Yeah.
They can sign up online. We've increased our pay twice in the last 5 years and still are having trouble recruiting. If we can buy equipment, we can find locations, even though as hard as it is to come by the money or find somewhere to vote. But if we don't have the people to staff that location, then, and you want to talk about election security, what if you don't have enough people to be able to watch what's actually going on in the polling location?
Yeah. All right. Final question for each of you. Why should people vote? What's the point? Especially, you know, if we think that Kentucky, well, kind of know who's likely to win the presidential election in Kentucky. So why bother?
It allows us to be a part of the solution and to cast your opinion for who you prefer in leadership roles. It's simple for me. You know, if you don't vote, I don't believe you have the right to complain. Be a part of the solution is big for me.
Yeah, I have a bumper sticker in my office that says, if you don't vote, don't whine. Anything to add, Kenny, on why people should vote?
Absolutely. The average drive-through time in a fast food restaurant in the United States of America right now is 6 minutes and 30 seconds. At non-peak times in Madison County, on early voting and election day, it's 10 minutes to vote. So if you're willing to sit, and that's an average time in a drive-through line, if you're willing to sit for 6 minutes and 30 seconds at McDonald's, you should probably be prepared to give 10, 15 minutes to exercise your right as a as a United States citizen.
As being part of a community. Well, thank you both for joining us. Susan Lamb, the county clerk of Fayette County. Kenny Barger, the county clerk in Madison County. This has been so great just to learn a little bit about the inside baseball, the nuts and bolts of elections. So thank you for joining Democracy Optimist.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Josh, you've noted that Kentucky has one of the most reasonable voter ID laws in the country. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, we touched upon it a little bit when we spoke with Kentucky Secretary of State Michael Adams, but it's worth discussing again. In 2020, the state passed a compromise measure on voter ID, and I had the fortune of being part of the legislative discussion of it. Lots of IDs count, including student IDs, although the legislature in 2024 has been discussing taking that away, the student ID aspect. Under the law, it's okay if the ID is expired. If a voter shows up without a photo ID, but they can show a non-photo ID like a credit card or Social Security card, they can vote with a regular ballot just like everyone else after they fill out an affidavit under penalty of perjury attesting to their identity. That's different from a lot of other states, which require voters to take an additional step, like going to the county clerk's office after the election to have their ballot count, and you won't be surprised that very few voters actually take that additional step. Importantly, there's zero evidence of the kind of fraud that an ID law would prevent, in-person impersonation. One study actually looked at all elections over 12 years with over 1 billion ballots cast in those elections and found only 31 possible instances of voter fraud. And most of those were things like a father and son with the same name showing up and the poll workers checking off the wrong person. Strict voter ID laws do, however, disenfranchise some people, but at least the Kentucky law is pretty reasonable and is unlikely to disenfranchise voters given the fail-safe mechanisms that the compromise law includes.
Well, this is great to know. And let's get another one of those fun election facts.
So we just spoke with two Kentucky county clerks, and so I thought it'd be interesting to learn about the history of clerks. Clerks are one of the oldest known officials in local government, dating back to ancient Greece. The word clerk comes from the Latin word clericus, meaning a person who could read, write, and serve as recorder. Ancient Greece had a city secretary who read official documents publicly and who, at the beginning of meetings, proclaimed a curse on anyone who should seek to deceive the people. One of the earliest offices created by colonists in Massachusetts was the recorder, who managed elections of town officials and governmental appointments, in addition to tasks such as sweeping the meeting rooms, selling seats, and ringing the bell. The term clerk appeared in the middle of the 17th century, and around that same time, clerk responsibilities expanded to verifying voting rights based on property deeds and administering the oath of office to elected official. It's safe to say that clerks have served an incredibly important role in American democracy for centuries.
And speaking of democracy, what's one thing that we can do to support it?
So I mentioned that early voting is fairly new to Kentucky, and some other states have recently adopted early voting days. And yet in previous election cycles, not a ton of people have used it, maybe about 20%. So if you like early voting, if you like early voting days, make a plan to vote early in the upcoming election. Make it so popular that the legislature can't consider taking it away.
Thanks for joining us for this series of conversations about how elections work, about the value of your vote, and about challenges to your right and freedom to make choices at your local polling place. Find our series online at democracyoptimist.com. Joshua Douglas, writer and host, Mike Savage, executive producer. I'm Tom Martin, your series producer. Neil Kesterson, technical director and sound designer. Democracy Optimist theme song, American, by Madeline Peru. Mason Graber and Stephen Dabney, research assistants. Caitlin Douglas, graphic designer. Ella Fitzgeraldine, studio dog. Democracy Optimist is a special Eastern Standard series produced by Dynamics Productions for Richmond, Kentucky-based public radio station WEKU. America.